So you got your Bible. We go to Psalm 122. This month is I Love Sundays month. Year ago, my good friend Hal Seed from San Diego, I was talking to Hal, and I said, Hal, October is just not a good month at Olive. He said, have a campaign. I said, well, we have campaigns, but when we have campaigns, we have giving campaigns. He said, that's right. He said, but have an attendance campaign or an evangelism campaign or a small group campaign. I said, he said, do it the same way you do. When you raise money, he said, you teach for a month in your small groups the same thing you preach about. And then you marshal your people together and you all go forward with one vision, one look. And I said, I believe we will. So we chose October. I Love Sundays. He said, I've got a campaign we've done. You can just take the material. And I've taken that material. And we're using much of it in the small groups that you were just in. And then I come and preach. And I've taken Hal's material and just kind of put it in a blender and trailerized it a little bit. But we just borrowed that from Hal Seed out in San Diego. So I Love Sundays. That's what we're calling this month. There are five Sundays. Now, little did we know when we planned to have I Love Sundays that the Warrington deal was going to fall in our lap. So we wouldn't have done these things at the same time. So it came and it was too late to put the brakes on. But it really does fit together well of I Love Sundays, and it's about the church and the church sending. So that's what you see out here in the foyers, all of these things. And they'll change week by week, the ministries that are out there. So come early, stay a little late, go by, visit those booths and learn the disaster reliefs out there, a lot of other things that are out there. Then they'll change over and there'll be some different ones next week and the week after. And you'll learn things out there about Olive. So we put all this together and the staff's really tired and you'll be tired. Because we're trying to do two major thrusts at one time. And it'll work. It'll be okay. We'll be a little weary. But don't come tell me you're tired. All right? Because I'm just going to look at you and say, suck it up. Let's go. All right? This is going to be a good month. October's usually low, but we're going to make it a mountain peak in our church calendar this year. All right? And we'll jump off into that toward the holidays, and I'm really excited. I Love Sundays. Our theme this morning is Psalm 122. David is writing, and he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together. To which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For their thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord your God, I will seek your good. A lot of us grew up where Sunday was boring. Some grew up where Sunday was a rat race. Some grew up in homes where Sunday was just another day. Others in homes where Sunday was a disappointment. It was supposed to be a family day or a day off, but nothing really ever happened because the family never did anything together. Or the wrong thing happened. You had to do yard work. You had chores your mom or daddy made you do. Sometimes Sundays were awkward because you as a child had to go and spend the weekend with a non-custodial family because of divorce, and all the week you were in one home and now you're at another and they took you to different places. Others grew up in homes where Sundays were filled with conflict. Church was mandatory, but no one was ever ready to leave on time. We competed for the bathroom, bumped into each other, scrambled for breakfast in the kitchen, wolfed down our food, bolted the door, argued with each other all the way to church. Then there was a miracle healing, and you acted like saints when you walked in the parking lot. But I'm here to tell you that Sundays can surprise you. Sunday is the day the Lord's made, and He set it aside for a specific task. And I want us to highlight Sundays and simply say, I love Sunday all month long, and begin some new habits in our lives. Father, thank You for Sunday. It's a good day, the day You've made. And I pray today now You speak to us. Add to Your church today. As we send people out, add people to us. And help us be a family of God together in Jesus' name. Amen. God love you. Thank you. You be seated. God made Sunday for you. You see, Mark 2:27 says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made Sunday for you. Now, I know when I say Sabbath, you think, well, that's Saturday, but we'll talk about it. Next week and the week after, I'm going to dig into this issue of how Sabbath transitioned from Saturday to Sunday in the New Testament because of the resurrection. But today, just lend me your ear when I say Sabbath. Think of the Lord's Day on Sunday, and we come together in this place. Sabbath was made for you. Jesus said it. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for you, for you. God made this day and set it aside to make it a glorious day, and sometimes it surprises you. David, in Psalm 122, talks about this day, and he says in the verse that most of us know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David was happy to go. Somebody invited David. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go. Let's be invited. He was invited up to the temple on this Lord's Day. I was glad when they said, let's go. David enjoyed being in the house of the Lord. Why? Three reasons that I'd give you quickly. Number one, he liked being with God's people. Notice it in verse number 4. He said, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. You know there were 12 tribes, and these tribes, the 12 of them, they would go up on the Lord's Day, and there they would gather at the temple, and the choirs would sing, and the trumpets would blow, and there was great, great crescendo and joy as the he liked being with God's people. Let me tell you, friend, you ought to come on Sunday because it's good to be with God's people gathered together. This last week, one of our good members set up a spiritual emphasis week at Monroe Academy up in Monroeville, Alabama, where he went to school. It's not a public school, but a private school, but it's not a Christian school. They'd never had this, and Robert Dunn, my friend, set it up. He had different preachers come. I preached on Thursday. Frank Lay went up and preached one day. One of our own young men, Ryan Parazine, was there preaching one day. I did Thursday and gave the invitation, had kids saved in that high school assembly. They came forward, walked right down in front of their peers, 10 of them, and made their dedication that Jesus is first in their life. It was a good, good day. And then we went to David's Catfish and had lunch. If you've been to David's Catfish, you'd have said amen. I'm telling you, it's good. We went in that little place and sat down, and we ordered, and there was a senior adult lady. Found out later that her husband had divorced her late in life, and she was working to make ends meet. And she came back, and she looked at me, and she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I know you. She said, I watch you on television every Saturday and sometimes on Sunday. I'll watch it again. And then she just left. In about 3 minutes, she came back and she came. She said, I just called my sister and said, you won't believe who's in this restaurant. I said, y'all don't get many people through Monroeville, do you? She said, well, you just bless me. And I want you to listen. Thank God for television, radio, and internet. But I'm just telling you, there's something about being with God's people. Now, you can't be here. Thank God that we can be in touch, because many are watching right now and on Facebook Live, and we're grateful you're doing it, and on live stream, and we're grateful you're doing it. But there's just something about when you can be, to be in the house of the Lord. You see, when you're out there, you're just by yourself. And it's, but when you come here, you're with the sheep. That can be positive, and it can also be negative. But see, there's something about just liking being with God's people, warts and all, as God blends us together. All the tribes, all 12 of the tribes, they were different, but they came together. David liked being with God's people. You ought to come on Sunday because you just like to be with God's people. Secondly, he wanted to honor God. Look at it in verse number 4, to which the tribes go up, but then an ordinance to Israel. God had told them to come together. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but more together as you see the day of our Lord. When you see the day of God coming, you ought to be in church more, not less. David came because he liked being with God's people. Secondly, he wanted to honor God. You ought to come to honor the Lord. You set that day aside. And thirdly, David knew that prayer was the way to peace. Well, now, we know that verse 1, but down in verse number 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's the other verse we know out of this text, and I hear people with it all the time. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the Jerusalem. Pray, and we should, and we do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But contextualize this. David is saying, pray for the city. You ought to pray for Pensacola. You ought to pray for the peace of your city. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need that. But we pray for the peace of the city of which we are in, that they may prosper who love you. But notice verse 7, he says, may peace be within your walls, that God would bring peace here inside. You ought to pray always that there would be peace within the family of God. I prayed over this group going to Warrington in the early service and said, Lord, I rebuke the evil one that would try to bring disunity and disruption to this new church campus. Pray for peace, the peace of the city, the peace of the church. But then in verse 8, he said, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. Not only peace of the city, the peace within the family, but peace in you, in your very heart. And how does that come? It comes with peace. I've lived long enough now that I've seen two major disruptions in the culture of the United States. We are in one of them right now. I've never seen our nation more divisive. People siding up on all different sides of issues. You have a president that stands in one way and then uses language that no man ought to use in public. It doesn't help, doesn't heal anything, doesn't help anything. Matter of fact, it does damage when you call people SOBs. It's just wrong. And on the other side, there's just as much vitriol, and it's just... Let me tell you, friend, the only way to, you're not going to argue your way to peace. You got to come to the altar of God and cry out. I have some people say, I've never seen America like this. You evidently didn't live through Vietnam. You say, I've never seen a man like is the president. Let me tell you, if there had been Twitter when LBJ was president, smoke would rise. You just have to read history. The guy that grabbed the dog by the ears, he wasn't a sweet old man. He is tough as nails. We've been down this road with division. It's just a different, but I'm telling you, the people of God ought to pray for our cities. We ought to pray for our churches. We ought to pray for our peoples. That's why we ought to be in God's house, falling on our face, crying out, oh God, bring us together. Bring peace to the city. Peace to the church, peace to the heart of mankind. Sundays can surprise you when you cry out unto the Lord. David, he liked being with God's people. He wanted to honor God, and he knew prayer was the way to peace. So how do we apply this loving Sunday? Well, I want to give you seven reasons to invest in the Sabbath. Now understand, friend, the Sabbath is a gift given to you. The Sabbath Sunday is a gift given. Look in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Here, it's up on the screen. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete, so God's done, and all of their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. God wasn't tired. He doesn't get weary. He was giving us an example. And God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath. And when you commit to the things God blesses you. This day, this is a holy day. Now you can worship any day. We have worship on different days. But there's something about the day of the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people still go back to Saturday and want to have Sabbath worship. The seventh day, people do that. Some of our Baptist friends that are messianic, they say we ought to do it. But let me tell you, the New Testament church in Acts, and I'm going to preach about this next week, but just to throw this over on us to understand that they came together on the first day of the week as their worship day, as their Sabbath day, because it's when Jesus got up from the grave. The resurrection changed everything. And when we come together, God has given us this day. It is a gift to us, and we dare not abuse the gift. So how in the world do we invest in the Sabbath? Let me give you just seven quick things I want you to see this morning. Number one, the first reason to invest in the Sabbath is because I need it. I need it. God practiced it, and then God made it possible. In Mark 2, verse 27, we know that Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God didn't make you to fit his day. He made that day for you. You need Sabbath. You need that day. I need rest. It's the way that God does it for us. He set it up. God practiced it in his creation. Then he rested. You work, you rest. You need a Sabbath. Number two, you should invest in the Sabbath because God asks me to. God asks us to do that. Exodus 20 and verse 8. We'll look at this verse a little bit more next week on remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We'll talk about how to keep it holy next Sunday. But just remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You need to do that. God asks you to come apart and be separate. And if you're going to be a Christ follower, you need to do what he says to do. You need it. God asks you to do it. Number three, God blessed the Sabbath. We saw that in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 3, where we see that God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified that day. You see, the Sabbath, this Sunday, is a special day. It's not an extra day. It's a special day. When we cooperate with what God blesses, we get blessed. When you get in on what God's doing, you get blessed. When you find where God's at work, you go to work there and you get in on the work of God. Well, it's every Sunday. You ought to come together with the people of God. Number four, my life goes better when I Sabbath. My life just goes better because it's God's way when I take a Sabbath. There's no greater illustration in our culture about this than the Chick-fil-A restaurant. Chick-fil-A makes more money in 6 days than Taco Bell and McDonald's makes in seven. Now, you've all done it, and I did it last Sunday. I preached here twice and went home, changed clothes real quick, and I drove hard to get to that little country church where I pastored in college, and I was going there for a special meeting, and it was such a glorious time last Sunday night, and that little church, not our choir hold more than that church holds, is filled up with people, and we had a great and glorious time. We were tired, and we were going. I drove, and Leah said, oh, man, I'm hungry. Can we get a little something before we get there? And I said, great. And I looked, and I said, Chick-fil-A, and I pulled off. She said, they closed on Sunday. I said, what day is it? Every one of us have done it, hadn't we, on Sunday? I said, dadgum, I wish there was. And then you think, well, I'm glad they're not open. Then you go over and help one of those other restaurants that can't make money on. Amen? We've all thought it. Do you know that the family, what they gave Truett Cathy on one of his birthdays, they signed a covenant with him that they would leave his legacy always, that they would never open on Sunday. That's what they gave him. What a great testimony. Do you know in the new Atlanta Mercedes football stadium, there is a Chick-fil-A restaurant or place, whatever it is, space, I guess it is. I wondered about, I said, you know, the Falcons play most of their games on Sunday. Now, there are other events that are, I just wonder what Chick-fil-A does with that thing. We got a Chick-fil-A retired owner that's in here. Maybe he can find that out for me. And what are they going to do in that Mercedes-Benz dome when maybe they just put a sign up there, said, go to church on Sunday, eat more chicken on Monday. I don't know what they're going to do. But it's a witness. It's a testimony that they have. Grateful to God for it. And I'm just telling you, life goes better when you Sabbath. A secular sociologist, this is not a Baptist press report. A secular sociologist did a massive study, and here's what he found. People who regularly attend church, if they go to church and they go a lot, I mean, they attend on a regular basis. Number one, they live 7.5 years longer than other people. People tell me they don't have time to go to church. You get 7 extra years if you go. Number two, people who regularly attend church are 56% more likely to be optimistic. You get a better outlook on life if you go to church more often. Number three, you're 27% less likely to be depressed if you go to church. That's because you're more optimistic. You're 35% less likely to get divorced if you're in church on a regular basis. He said in this secular, again, it's not a Christian. This is a secular sociologist. He said, you students achieve higher grades that go to church on a regular basis. And then he said, I started to leave this out, but I decided to throw it in. He said, this is part of the survey. It says it right here. You got it written down. Your sex life is better if you attend church on a regular basis. Now, who's against that? If for no other reason, you ought to be here every Sunday. We're about to have revival break out right here in the church. I'm just here to tell you, friend, my life goes better when I Sabbath. Your life will be better all the way around from A to Z, stem to stern. Your life is just better when you meet with God's people on a regular basis, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. Number five, my Mondays go better when I Sabbath. Now, that's going to be my sermon next Sunday. About my you ever just say, oh, Lord, I dread Monday. I tell you, Mondays go better when you Sabbath. I'll prove that to you in my message next week. Number six, my family does better when I Sabbath. My family, so why is that? Because of relationships and memories. You build relationships here you wouldn't get anywhere else. And you make memories here that you wouldn't get anywhere else. I'm here to tell you, I mean, when I was growing up, and some of you are old as I am, and you were just like I am, son, you went every Sunday. It wasn't once a month. This old boy said, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday. I'm just telling you. Went every Sunday in Georgia, didn't we? Amen, Crawford. On the mountain where I'm from, I mean, we went every Sunday. My daddy had the philosophy of Chick-fil-A before Chick-fil-A was cool. We had a grocery store in town. It's locked up on Sunday. You couldn't get in there. It's wide open now that they got new ownership, but 6 days a week. We went to church. We made great relationships in church. Some of my dearest friends through church. We made great memories. You can go to Pisgah. I was there just a few weeks ago. You can bring up this story, and I'm telling you, people will know about it. I never forget the Sunday. Tommy Banks was our pastor, Dr. Banks, and he was trying to get the church to build a new church building because the old one was just decrepit, broken down. It was getting to be a lot like Russo Hall was a few years ago, and just not useful and torn up, and it just had run its course, and there was a lot of old-timers didn't want to do it, and they'd been married there and got saved there, and there's so many good things that happened. But I was there the Sunday. I'll never forget it. In our church, it was two sections like this, and I sat right back there in the back corner with the young people. Thank God our young people sit closer down front. We'd sit on the back. I remember the Sunday. You can go there and ask anybody now. The Sunday, Brother Banks was preaching that we ought to do this, and there's a termite swarm in the back. Termite swarmed during the preaching. They just came up like a cloud, and somebody said, "I move we do it." And they said, "Amen." And everybody raised their hand, got out of there. And we built a new building because God sent the termites like a cloud. Amen. One of the greatest memories as a kid growing up, I just remember that. It just happened. And it was part of the body life of that community. I'm here to tell you that your family does better when you Sabbath because of the relationships you build. You remember last Sunday? We took the Lord's Supper, if you were here. And I did something. I've been doing the Lord's Supper for 40 years as a pastor, and longer than that as a Christian. It's the first time I've ever seen it done or thought to do it. But before we took that cup, that we looked to the right and we looked to the left and said, "I'm with you." That's family. I'm telling you, that's what our church is about. And when we come together on Sunday, we see people, we touch people, encourage people, and our family does better because of the Sabbath in relationships and memories. Number 7, my eternity will go better if I Sabbath. My eternity will go better. Now, I am not telling you here, I am not telling you that if you come to church, you go to heaven. No, no, no. Church attendance does not mean heaven attendance. Coming to church does not mean going to heaven. However, coming to church puts you in a place to hear the message that'll get you to heaven. And your eternity goes better when you Sabbath. You come to this place, and it's here you hear the gospel. It's here you're dedicated unto the gospel. It's here that people work with you about the gospel. This past week, one of our precious young families called and asked if we would have a special baby dedication. We do those from time to time when there's something that comes up. In this particular case, they wanted the grandparents to come, but one of the grandparents on the wife's side is a Methodist preacher that has terminal brain cancer. And he's not able to get out of the bed, and they wanted him to be a part, if at all possible. So I said, certainly, and last Monday afternoon, 5:30, I drove out there, and the granddaddy was in the bed, hospital bed in his house, and we went in, and the other set of grandparents was there, and the wife of this man. He's, a Methodist pastor, and he's mid-50s. This couple has 3 children. This little girl, Kennedy. Oh, my Lord, she's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful baby. And so I read scripture, and I said, "Well, as we get ready to pray, here's what I want you to do. Mom and Daddy, I want you to kneel here next to this bed, and I want you to put that baby up in the bed with Granddaddy. And if he can get his hand," he couldn't respond really, and put his hand and be a part of that. So I prayed about Ecclesiastes, what the old Koheleth, it means preacher, the writer of Ecclesiastes, the Koheleth said, we should rejoice when people die and weep when children are born. We do it just the other way. We rejoice at the baby and weep at death. But really, if you die in the Lord, you're better off than a newborn baby because of all the heartache. And I prayed that scripture and I said, Lord, I've never seen a picture more pertinent than this. With a man we should rejoice over, he's going to his reward, he knows you, and we dedicate this baby unto you. And when I finished, that Methodist preacher said, amen. Well, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, including mine. We was crying and snorting. That family will never forget that. We didn't do that in the church house, but that memory comes because of the church. And we talked about eternity, and then we gave them a packet like we do every one of these young families that come here. There's a certificate, and then there's a letter from me that's to be opened when that baby that was dedicated comes and professes faith in Christ. Then they're to open that letter. I got a email just 3-4 weeks ago from a family, said call the name of the child, and said our boy named the child, said he opened his letter because he got saved and baptized this week, and we've been transferred out of town and we're off over here, but there was that letter. We dedicated our baby unto knowing Christ, and he personally received Jesus, got saved. I'm telling you, that's why you come to church. That's why you ought to love Sundays. Sometimes God will surprise you. He surprised us in the early service. Oh, it was one of our friends, John's friend, my friend was here. We had him come sing unannounced. I said, if you're going to come hear me preach, you got to work while you're here. And boy, the people just stood and raised their hands. It always a blessed time. Sundays can surprise you. I want to challenge you to do three things today. Three things. Number one, I want you to decide. I want you to decide that Sunday is important. I want you to decide. Do you know coming on Sunday is a Saturday night decision? You don't decide on Sunday morning. You decide on Saturday night. And I want you today to decide that church is, and Sundays, my church is going to be part of my life more often. I talked to a preacher a while back. I said, you know, I did a 7-part series of sermons. He said, my Lord. He said, if I did a 7-part series, he said, take me 28 weeks to preach it. I said, what? He said, some of them just come once every 4 weeks. He said, the time they all got it. I said, I understand. People are less frequent. Friend, you got to decide. And I'm challenging you to decide to make the gathering. It's Bible. It's right. It's better for you. It's a Saturday night decision. I want you to decide that I'm gonna be here. Number two. I challenge you not only to decide, I challenge you to invest. Invest your time, invest your family, invest your prayer life, invest your money, invest your soul, that you would say, Olive is my church. It's only when you invest that it's my church. When we have trouble, people say, that's Dr. Traylor's church. But when it's going good, they say it's our church. Well, I understand that. That's good. But it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. I'll never forget it. I was walking through a crisis here many years ago, and I had an old sainted deacon came, and he meant well, and he meant what he said, but he just said it wrong when he looked at me, and I was young and brash and stupid. And he said, preacher, what you're doing is ruining my church. I said, you may be correct. I may be ruining the church, but I've got a word for you, dear sir. It's not your church. You don't own it, nor do I. It's the Lord's church. But I understood, because he had invested so much of his life, it was his church. And we ought to all have that kind of mentality, that it is our church. I'm invested. I'm here. And I want you to decide that it's yours. I want you to invest in your church. Invest your time, your talent, your tithe, your giving. There are people that have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to this place through their lifetime. Investing. He usually sits right up here, the first service. Clyde and Joyce Parazan usually sit right up here. Used to be standing right up here. Old Marine. We'd sing anything patriotic, he'd wave a flag while he's in the choir. I was about to see old Clyde the other day. If you ever know him, he's got a handshake like a vice. He'll bring you to your knees. He's an old man. He's never done that to me. I've watched him take football players, squeeze that hand. They'll go to the ground. He just smile. But for his pastor, he is always gentle with me. But I went to see him just the other day, and he's slipping a little. And I reached over to take his hand, and I thought he's going to kill me. He sat down on that knuckles of mine, and I thought, dear Lord, he doesn't know who I am. He's forgot it's the pastor. And I was just crumpling. I reached over my other hand, had to get it out of there. When I looked at him, he just kind of turned his head real slow and grinned real big. I thought, you sorry dog, you. I'll never forget that about that. He's been here all of his life, no telling how many hundreds of thousands of dollars. He and scores of other people just like him, it's in this room. That they've invested. I want you to decide. I want you to invest. Thirdly, I want you to take the next step. The next step. Well, what's the next step? For some of you, the next step is joining this church. I want you, when John comes, he's coming to get ready, when he sings this song in a minute, I want you to come and I want you to join Olive Baptist Church. Say, how do I join Olive Baptist Church? There's two things you got to do. Number one, you got to know you're saved. You got to know the Lord. You got to be saved, know that God stepped out of heaven in your heart. You got to repent of your sins, ask Jesus to save you. Say, I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved me. And secondly, you have to be baptized like that young girl. Did you see that young girl that was baptized today? Her daddy couldn't be here today. They Skyped it in. He watched from somewhere around the world. That was a good thing. Thank God for technology. He could see his daughter being baptized today. You ought to come. Be saved. Be baptized. I'm praying. I challenged our folks that we'd baptize 75 teenagers this year. Let me tell you, if you baptize 75 teenagers at Olive Baptist Church in a calendar year, you will be in the less than one half of 1% of churches that'll do that. And I'm telling you, we can if we get after it. We can reach those teenagers. There was one today. We need others. You just be saved and baptized. And then sometimes you just move your membership, that you just come. Say, we're sending all of these people that you saw in these books, we're sending them out. Thank God we had, I think, four couples came, or five, with, I don't know what happened, next step tables. No, we had five couples come and join. So as we sent, you listen to me. You say, preacher, what's going to happen? All these people leaving. What happens is, when you give, God replenishes.